This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's talk about one more case, this one going to trial here. Lindsay Clancy's murder trial, it is starting, jury selection beginning. A Massachusetts mother charged with strangling all three of her children while her husband was out picking up dinner that she sent him to get. The prosecution says she checked Apple Maps to time his drive and committed the crimes. Then the defense says she was buried under 9 medications and hearing a voice that told her to take her children with her. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, along with us today, and Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent. This is a case that has a lot of people divided. I think a lot of people are divided based on life experience, quite honestly, of dealing with folks who've had postpartum, whether them being themselves or someone they care about, and understanding just how volatile and scary and horrible that is, and folks who've dealt with the mental health industry and maybe been prescribed cocktails of drug after drug after drug after a nice 5-minute consultation. Here, take this, see if it works for you. Oh, didn't work, try that. And no, again, another story of systems, medical systems, not communicating about what they are giving the single human being that they're caring for. Lindsay Clancy's lawyer offered to formally admit that she killed all three of the kids if the judge would split the trial into guilt and sanity phases. She's not arguing that she did it. She knows she did it. She's saying that she wasn't in the right mental state. Is anybody in the right mental state after taking that kind of a cocktail of drugs and your body doing what it does in the postpartum psychosis state that many say that she was in? Where do you think this goes, Jen, when this gets to the courtroom?
This is my issue with this, okay?
Yeah.
Women know that there are issues with postpartum, right? We've all seen stories. We all are educated about that by our doctors that, listen, this could happen to you and you could have this child and want to kill the child, because that's what postpartum, you're depressed.
Yeah.
You don't want this child, don't want anything to do with that. And we're educated about that.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget this conversation my husband had with me before our first child. He you know, we had a niece that had it and it was bad, really bad. And he just looked at me, and he's a man of few words, and he said, if you feel like killing our son, can you just let me know? And I'll make sure to kind of get him out of the picture. Of course, I mean, I fell in love. I wrote a poem. The only time I've ever been or published was a poem about I never knew love before I had my son. Mm-hmm. And but my point is we are talking about from A to Z, and we're only talking about Z. We're talking about after all these prescription drugs, blah, blah, blah. What happened to A? What happened to realizing you have an issue and steps being taken to either get the child out of that situation or otherwise protect the children? You know why nobody ever speaks for the children? Children have no voice. In the case we just discussed prior to this, they have no voice. And that is why it's easy to trample and everything. So in my opinion, the mother who realized she had a problem, she went to Z and then ended up killing. What happened in between?
She went to A, B, C, D, E, F, and G is where she tried to get help, and the doctors kept giving her new cocktails of medicine. I guess the only thing I guess the argument could be made, well, if she's in this sort of state, remove the kids from the house, have them go somewhere else,
yes,
have dad move. I mean, but that's not necessarily a realistic option for most people. It's not like she sat there and said, this is me, deal with it. She did take so many steps. She is the shining example of someone who raised her hand gazillions of times and was failed by the system, and the medications screwed her up even more, and then this was the result, and then the system turns around and says, well, it's your fault.
I get teary every time I think about this case. This is one of the most, I hate covering cases like this too, and I know a lot of viewers are saying the same thing, because outside of the dad being able to step in, to Jen's point, and just take the kids away, for years. I mean, it's like, when's the end state on that? And you don't know because you think everything's good. The only thing that looks like could have happened really is that she and her husband, because she's a nurse, she's a labor and delivery nurse. I mean, she knows this world. She knows the doctors. Put too much faith in the medication she was given and thinking it's going to be okay. And it all fell completely apart. And we talked about this before the show even started. What they're outside of just removing the kids from her life entirely, when would it be safe? And she had no idea, and they had no idea because they thought everything was fine. And she's accountable for it. She's taken accountability for it. But taking of life requires accountability. And she took lives. She says she took lives. But does the punishment fit the crime? And that's the big one here is like, what's the punishment going to be for the woman who's paralyzed from the waist down, who could serve the rest of her life in prison if convicted without reason of insanity? I mean, this is the messiest, most horrendous case, one of them we've covered, just because what the hell's the right answer?
Well, like what could she have done different other than
move the kids,
than removing the kids? I mean, it seems like they did. They went above and beyond compared to most parents.
I agree.
In this sort of a situation. That's where I guess, like, Jen, like, what else do you think that other than that could have been done differently here? And why? And does this deserve a murder charge?
So there's only two instances that I personally know very well. One was one of my dearest friends, and then my niece, who I mentioned, that had these issues.
Yeah.
And that is what you do. You literally don't allow the mother, because it does end, by the way, everyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't last forever. Yeah. It lasts in a very specific amount of time. And so that's what you do. You rally family. And you don't abandon the person, but you just segregate. And that's what you do. You allow visitations, and that's what you do. And I don't believe for one freaking moment that nobody realized there was something off with all that medicine.
Everybody did know there was something off. She was telling everyone things were off. I mean, by that argument, do you go after the husband for being negligent for going and getting takeout when he knew his wife had been saying that she was thinking of possibly killing the kids? I mean, number one, I mean, it's just, it's so tragic all around. Nobody obviously wanted this to happen, but I don't know that this is something that deserves murder charges. Because if you're going to charge her with it, you better charge him with being negligent too. I mean, or something, for going and getting takeout. I mean, I don't think you should, but by that line, it's like, well, if we're going to go by the letter of the law, I guess that would be part of it. If she's saying she's going to kill the kids and you decide that Taco Bell is more important, even though I don't know. And I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying this doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense why this is being prosecuted the way it is, when she's raising her hand saying, just put me away in a mental institution for the rest of my life. That's all I want. But somehow the state wants to go, no, we should put you in a prison.
Yeah.
Why?
That's an interesting question. And I don't know, you know, I know I can't answer it, not having a legal background on it. I'd be interested to hear what Bob and Eric say. But Jen, do you know? So say, you know, so her defense attorney, could they actually go to the prosecutor and say, listen, work a plea deal. The plea deal being, I'll admit guilt, but I got to be under this condition that it's under reasons of insanity, and put me here because this is what I'm willing to do because I was not in my right mind and I admit it. Is there any way they could do that? I'm like, why aren't they working a plea deal like that?
I just have to believe on this case, and we're going to see it play out, that there's more information we don't have. In other words, I want to see communications. I want to see what was really going on in her mind. I think there is so much out there we haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. And I think the prosecution is saying this was more in control. She was more in control than things are letting on. And so I think that's what we're going to see. But we'll see.
This is a condition. I mean, there's postpartum depression, there's postpartum psychosis. They are two very different things. One is, you know, it's bad. The other is way bad, like imminent. Yeah. This is not going to end well. And obviously, it did not end well. The judge blocked other mothers from testifying about their own experiences with postpartum psychosis. This is something that is not very well readily understood. And I don't, thank God it's not well readily understood, because it's very rare to be in postpartum psychosis, not postpartum depression. Saying that the medical experts they can cover it. That'll cover it for everybody. A psychiatrist explaining psychosis from a textbook hits a little differently than a mother telling a jury that she heard voices too, and what it felt like and how she got out of it and how it went, to really paint the picture for the jury. Did that ruling, I mean, just kind of gut the defense by not allowing those mothers from being able to come in and help the jury better understand from a first person perspective, not a textbook perspective, what this woman was going through?
Well, I think the problem is you have different sets of reality in terms of what is the diagnosis for both, right? Aren't they challenging it? In other words, you have two different, you're going to have two different experts on there saying yeah. whether she was in psychosis or not in psychosis. Right. And that's why the judge is saying, listen, we're not going to, you know, have a parade of people that were in psychosis when there's a point of argument whether she was really in psychosis or not. It's a question for the jury. So we're not going to put up there. That's like right. putting all the well mothers up there too, mm-hmm. that were able to overcome their postpartum and not go into psychosis, right? So I yeah. see why the judge said, forget about it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what they're saying was, because again, I've seen everyone's comments on it and everyone's spot on, you know, why even go get DoorDash? Why just not leave? They're claiming, you know, on the psychosis side of it, rapid escalation of the psychosis. Yeah. And I get the defense, well, the prosecution on that too. Those cases, I looked up the stats on it, they're extremely rare. That's why he felt safe in doing it, because it doesn't really happen.
Well, and I'll tell you this, from the perspective of a man who had a wife at one time who went through postpartum, the person changes pretty quickly. And having never been with someone who had been through that, having no experience whatsoever, you're going off your own life experiences. You don't think that people have the capacity to change as readily as they do, and go and believe things that aren't real as readily as they do. You're still going off of your life experience with this person not being like that. So when things do start changing so rapidly and so readily, and especially if you're seeing signs of, well, maybe this is a good day, maybe things are going good, you think maybe you can run out to go pick up takeout down the road for 10 minutes. Probably, obviously, it's a bad choice. It was a choice I'm sure he will regret for every moment he exists on this mortal coil. But at the end of the day, was it his fault that he didn't have the in-depth knowledge of how this works? No. How impactful will his testimony be to that jury, do you think, Jen?
It's going to be very impactful, but I'm going to say this, Tony, is if my spouse, who already I know is on medication, who's dealing with postpartum issues, blah, 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 blah. If they tell me I am going to kill your, I want to kill my kids.
Yeah.
I'm not going for takeout. Not no, now, I'm, not ever.
You, like, me, I'm no, not. I'm most people wouldn't. Yeah.
Come on. So I'll go for tacos. Mom, you have a glass of wine. We'll be back later. Hopefully you'll be sound asleep.
And it's easy for us to say that, though. Not being in that moment. It really is.
It is. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just trying to say, it seems like so many people don't think of the three kids, because that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about Taco Tico. I'm not thinking about Mom on 17 drugs. I am literally thinking about three dead human kids and how that happened. And some effing body needs to be held accountable. That's where my mind goes.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Or spangles. I'm not thinking about spangles either, since you're bringing up Taco Tico and other Wichita restaurants.
You know, we're definitely seeing the power of the baseline here. And what I mean by that is, if you look at, I looked at all the testimony about her, what kind of nurse she was, what kind of mother she was, what kind of wife she was. It is such a powerful narrative on this great human being she was. And so when you have an arc like that, a psychosis is a massive, whether temporary or in the moment, whatever they are, they have such a massive deviation from that established baseline. And she had a very, very solid baseline that we don't believe it could ever happen. Obviously, he didn't and no one did. But again, so when it comes to accountability, I really think these doctors should be at least questioned thoroughly. I don't know about the legal side of accountability, but whoever medicated her was way off.
At least look at this and take it as a lesson to learn of how to do better. I don't know that the doctor's going to be prosecuted, but the system did not work how it should to prevent this level of get on this antipsychotic, get on this drug, get on that, get off this, get on, and take a little bit more of that. And none of the systems talking to each other, it created the cocktail for insanity in itself. Even if she didn't have postpartum, you get on that many drugs in that short of a period of time and off, you're not going to be in a safe mental place. And yes, at the end of the day, there's so many things that could have been done differently and done better. I just don't, this just reads so wrong to me that it's a criminal first degree murder case. I mean, it's just, it doesn't add up. It seems like we need to take this as a lesson to prevent other women from having to go through this sort of a hellscape, and not dig her into the ground even deeper than she already is. I mean, she wants to be in a mental health facility for the rest of her life. Good, let her be, and end it. Why do we need to turn this into a parade?
Yeah, and the thing to think of too, because I lost a. My wife and I both went to high school together. We lost a high school classmate of ours to postpartum. What she did to herself was horrendous. So even if he had, say he didn't go and or they'd removed the kids from the situation, she still tried to end her own life. And that's why she's also paralyzed from the waist down. This was a massive break that she had on that day.
And the reality is for the husband here too, we don't know yet, I'm interested, Jen, to hear what we don't know yet in this case. But as far as we know, there wasn't previous attempts on the children's lives. So the husband's not, I mean, he's hearing her say that she feels this way. He's never seen her do that. And we have a very hard time as humans of thinking that the worst could happen to us. That won't happen to me. That's on Dateline. That's on this. That's on that. So I think there's that at play too. You don't think that person that you love, that's been a great mom, that's been a great partner, is capable of doing something like that until it actually happens. And then you're off to the races of what the hell was that? It's just a heartbreaking case all around. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. The links are in the description. We will continue our conversations right there. Jennifer Coffendaffer, Break the Case. Go subscribe wherever you get podcasts, also on YouTube, and follow her on X as well. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. It's Not All About Me, his latest book, available wherever you get books, and on audiobook. Go leave a review on Amazon. That's greatly appreciated. Until next time, for Robin, for Jen, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.